Anyway,
that is a good time.
Those
base, you know, I had a...
Provided for informational purposes only.
Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled out to my Chevrolet. I climbed down up inside. I pulled the choke and I turned the key, but the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful it nearly broke my heart.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and in just about 10 seconds, it'll be 5 after the hour. My name's Mark Salem, and I'll be your host here for the next hour here on AM 960 KKNT, and we'd like you to join us if you'd like to. The phone number, if you have a car question or car problem, is really easy. It's 508-0960, 602-508-0960. And if you get in now, the lines are wide open, and we can take your call. I've got a co-pilot today, or a pilot. You can sit in whatever seat you want to sit in, but Kurt Rock is here from Kurt's Automotive up in North Phoenix, right off Bell Road and the I-17.
Yeah, 23rd and Bell.
23rd and Bell. Now, that's east of the freeway or west of the freeway?
Just east.
Just east.
Yes.
So you get off, as you're northbound, you get off and you go east.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you're over there in the middle of all the dealers.
Yeah, I'm right across the street from many of the dealers.
Okay. You know, I did an interesting thing the other day. Well, at least I think it's interesting. Every year we do a labor analysis from the 28 to 30 shops in our area. And so we called everybody, and we've done it so many years now that the people know us. And now they're starting to get smart, which is fine with me, because they say, can I have a copy of this when we're done? And I said, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. If you participate, then you can see.
Uh-huh.
So I take all 30 places that are in the geographical area next to me, which includes lots of dealers.
Right.
And I average them out with me not in there. And the average came out to 105.67. 105.67 was the average labor rate. Now, I think I'm off the top of my head. I think the lowest I found was 92. But that shop, when we call them annually and semi-annually, it changes a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So the rest of the shops, you can see them go from 80 to 82 to 85 to 88 to 90 to 95. You can see the gradual increase.
Right.
But this one goes up and down a lot. But 92 was the bottom end. I think 127 was the top end. And that was, I think it was an Acura dealer. But I'm not sure. I'll just say it was a dealer. Forget the Acura. But 105, and we're sitting at 100.
Right.
And so I in today's economy, I don't mind being below the average, so I'm not going to move. If the economy were better, I'd be at 106 because I think I'm a dollar better than the average bear.
Yeah, I understand that.
And another thing, too, is when you look at your labor rate, what's your average labor on a ticket? How many hours would that be?
It's going to be right in the neighborhood of 3 hours, probably.
I agree. Mine's 3.1.
Yeah.
And when you look at the 3 hours, when you go from 105 to 106, you're talking about $3.
Yeah, $3.
$3. And what we've decided to do, and we copied this from someone else, some other gray-haired guy like you and me, he says, I will, if they complain, I will say, listen, I will go ahead and refund you, or I'll cut the labor rate down to my old labor rate just once. Are you sure you want to use it for something that's only 1 hour worth of labor? If I give you this freebie, wouldn't you rather wait until I do a timing belt for 5 hours?
Or till he blows an engine, yeah.
Exactly. And so, but that expires at the next up.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so there's a window, but
right,
it's a year away. So that was an interesting concept, and when I hear that kind of explanation, I really like to hear that. I like to hear other guys' ideas, and I think it's a wonderful idea.
Yeah, it sounds good.
You know, when you get into that, shop supplies and environmental charges.
Yes.
Okay, do you get complaints about those?
You know, Mark, I when I first initiated them years ago, I thought, boy, they're going to be, nobody even notices them most of the time.
Right. And I agree with you. When we first put those in, and I think we put those in 1993.
Sounds about right.
Ooh, it was ugly.
Yeah.
And we were refunding those all the time, but you only got to refund it once. And then if you chose to do business with us, you knew that was going to be on your ticket afterwards. Again, I copied it from a variety of other guys who came up with the idea. But in our industry, movement is normal.
Right.
And it's tough.
Yeah, and them shop supplies, the reason that we instituted them in the first place is I got a letter from the state and says, you know, you buy WD-40, you buy hand cleaner, you buy this, you buy that, and you use it in the shop. You spray customers' doors with a squirt of white lith, mm-hmm. and it's not getting taxed, so either you pay it or somebody else does. So the state backed off when we come up with a percentage on that, and they were happy, and that's why I instituted it in the first place.
And let's go over that list. I'll say something, you say something. You already said WD-40 and white lithium grease in the spray can.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say carb cleaner.
Carb cleaner, brake clean.
Okay. Cotter pins?
Cotter pins and... all your tapes and lubricants.
And how about all your electrical connections?
Oh, my.
And your heat shrink. And how about your solder?
And your duct tape.
And your shop towels.
And your shop towels and your uniforms.
And your uniforms. And your fender. Now, these are costs associated with doing business.
Absolutely. They're wear items.
But rather than bill them independently of one another,
right?
We just, everybody pays a little bit. And see, here's something that I did notice. I did notice that some guys look at that, not very many people, but I have run into shop owners that look at shop supplies and environmental charges as an income stream.
Right.
I prefer, and I know you and I have already had this conversation, I prefer just to have that pay those bills.
Yeah, and we cap it. It's a certain percentage up to a certain amount on an invoice. We don't just let it go clear to, if it's a motor, it don't go clear to the end.
Yeah. Know? In what I do is we have, just like you have general ledger account numbers.
Yes.
We put those shop supplies in general ledger, and then I tell my daughter, Andy, just make sure at the end of the year the amount we've collected paid that account.
Yes.
And then that means everybody paid a little bit.
Right.
Everybody paid, because everything, you can't bill every nut, every bolt, every washer, every how do you bill for 2 feet of electrical tape?
Or one squirt of WD-40.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. All righty, we're still open to lines. If you guys want to give us a call, 602-508-0960. Have you got any complaints lately?
I did, and it's kind of interesting. It was just a misunderstanding.
Okay.
And after the gentleman complained, without saying too much, we put we fixed his air conditioner,
mm-hmm.
put a valve in his air conditioner, and when we were all done, his performance on his AC unit was 2 degrees higher than it used to be.
Okay.
It was still 6 degrees under the charts.
Okay. Okay.
So his complaint was it ain't what it used to be, not that it isn't functioning right.
Yeah.
And
that's hard.
And so,
was he an engineer?
No, actually he wasn't. And so rather than fuss with the charts we give him, he done a complaint, and then we sat down and talked to him again, and we said, okay, I'll tell you what you do. You go buy the valve from the dealer. We'll put it in. It was the exact same valve we put in.
Right.
It changed it 1 degree lower, so he was happy and we was happy. And since then, we've done a lot of work for him, but it just one of the things. And it's a funny thing, it was the exact same product, but from one valve to the next, there's variations.
Well, folks don't understand that. Give me the brand of the car.
It was a Toyota.
Okay, folks don't understand that Toyota doesn't have a factory that makes all their parts.
No, they don't.
They buy from all the people that make those parts, and they put them in their boxes. The other day, I was looking through some brand-new radiators, and there's Fomoco, and who's the – it starts with a D.
Denso?
No. This is the Ford distributor.
Oh.
It's like –
yeah,
it's not like Delphi. Delphi and Delco are part of General Motors. They make parts and box them for General Motors.
Correct.
But I don't remember who this was, but it was their radiator in a aftermarket box.
Right.
When I was in Lincoln, Nebraska, at the Goodyear plant, they had big sheets of hoses and belts coming off the thing, and I saw the same belt go in 19 different sleeves.
Absolutely.
Same belt, 19 different sleeves.
Yeah.
And I said to them, what's the quality of those 19 versus these two lines over here? And they said, there's a difference in quality. I said, who are these two lines? And they go, they're ours. And I said, okay, what about that one over there? And he goes, that's the Gatorback. That's our premium line. I said, well, I don't see it in any of these 19 lines. And he goes, you won't either. That's our premium belt.
Yeah.
The Gatorback's the best.
Yeah.
So big sheets of rubber that they have knives that just cut the belts out.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Absolutely.
All righty, folks. Again, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Like you, I've had some complaints. I had a lady the other day that wrote a nice complaint, and I really like nice complaints.
If you
call me names, that starts us off on the wrong foot. If you say, I knew you were going to rip me off, that's right. Anyway, we did an oil change, and her dashboard is going in and out. So she wrote me a nice letter about it, and I said, you know, gosh, if you want to, you can go to the dealer.
Uh-huh.
Because there is a problem with the Cobalt dashboard.
Right.
And doing an oil change is not likely for us to have caused that problem. However, there's also some information that the interior light fuse can be corroded. We know it's not blown because it intermittently works on and off. But if you'll bring it by, I'll do the fuse for free. But if you go there and they say it's my fault, then just call me and I'll come and look at it. Like, for instance, in a stupid kind of way.
Right.
One of the wires is underneath the drain plug gasket,
you know,
or something like that.
Yeah, something crazy.
Something crazy that we did wrong.
Yeah.
And if we did wrong, I'll take care of it.
Right.
But it's a tough transition when you're talking about the instrument panel when we were working underneath the hood and changed your oil and filter.
Absolutely. That's
but she wrote me back and she said, thank you for your response. So I don't really know where she's going to go with it, whether she's going to take me up on my offer, but I've already briefed all my staff and said, if Mrs. R comes in, then do the fuse for the dash lights and get in her manual, find out which fuse it is, and let's be specific and see if we can help her out. But and like you probably, or maybe not like you, I have had a lot of complaints over the last 6 or 8 months, and I think everybody has. Even the Better Business Bureau is up thousands of complaints.
Yeah, we've noticed several. At the ARAC and things like that. And it's just people are a little tense right now.
Yeah.
A dollar means something to them.
And that's right. That's right. And one of the things I said to her at the very beginning was no one knows whose fault this is until we know what it is.
Yes.
And that works against me and for me.
Yeah.
Because the other day we had one, and I say the other day, I could mean 6 months ago or 6 years ago,
right.
But not too long ago. I'll change that to not too long ago. We had a VW Rabbit in. It wasn't a VW Rabbit. It was a Passat or something like that. And he says, the air's not working. So you guys got done working on it. Well, we weren't even working underneath the hood. We were working underneath the car. And you know what we did? We switched two plugs. He pulled two plugs off two sensors, and he switched the two of them, and they both plugged in perfectly.
I think we had that problem on a Volkswagen. They are good about that. We plugged two sensors in wrong once.
Yeah,
same plugs.
You know how much that mistake cost me?
Little bit.
$500.
Yeah.
I thought they took advantage of me, but you know what? I'm glad they fixed the car.
Yes, sir.
All righty. 602-508-0960. My website is marksalem.com. If you're looking for a good repair shop, you can always stop by there and take a look. And I promise you that they'll be good to you. And if there's a problem, they'll go to the Better Business Bureau and go through arbitration, because that's what they promised me. This is Intelligent Conservative Talk, AM 960 KKNT. I'm Mark Salem, and we'll be back. Here's a number, 602-508-0960.
Hi, a doctor with gray hair.
The mechanic raised up from under my hood, and he shook his head and said, this ain't good. Timing belts done shrunk, one size too small.
Well, good day, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Mark Salem, Kurt Rock here, helping you with your car questions. Have you ever had a timing belt shrunk too small?
No.
Yeah. It's still a great song.
Yeah.
You know what? It's just a nice song.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the phones, and we're going to talk to Dick. Dick, good morning to you. How can we help you this morning?
Hi, good morning, Mark. I'm a cheerful capitalist, just the way you two folks are, but I've been trying to scratch my head on this subject of shop supplies. And I've been trying to think of any other business that would charge me as a customer the variable incidental costs of providing service or perhaps even providing goods. I mean, if I go to a dentist and he uses a little more cleaning agent for my teeth, he can charge me any more or less. If a utility company comes by to do an installation of something, and I may have a 1,000-foot house, a fellow next to me may have a 5,000-foot house, that charged me any different from the wire they use to do an insulation. I was just trying to figure out the logic of it. Not the underlying end result, but the logic of it and how customers really don't object to it.
Okay. All right. I think, and I can't speak for the entire industry, but I can only speak to my investigation when we decided to input shop supplies. There's lots of business in my world, in my family and in my world. And, for instance, when you go to a restaurant and it's a takeout restaurant, they put napkins and silverware and straws in the bag that they give you, plus the bag. I asked them, who pays for that? And they said, we add it to the top end of our costs associated with the burger. And I said, so what happens if I don't take hot sauce? And he says, then I make a little money. So for me, the logic was this. Because this is not supposed to be a profit center, and I'm speaking for me, and I think I'm speaking for you.
Yes, you are.
Okay. It's not supposed to be a profit center. All we want to really do is pay those costs and divide them amongst everybody. And as long as that seems the fairer way to my consumer customer than to charge each one of them for the straw, the plastic lid, the cup, the sack, and this hot sauce. Does that make sense?
Only so far.
Okay. That was my reason, is it was the easiest way to do that and still minimize the cost associated with those small things that I absolutely couldn't keep track of on a one-by-one basis. I had to group them into something, and that's the way I chose to do it. So you asked for logic. That's my logic.
Well, it's not the variable that would cause me to decide between one service provider and another. But where it does come in, and maybe for people who don't use a pencil quite as well in any event, is for folks who, or providers, who do make it a profit center. I've had some jobs, quote, minor jobs, where the provider was competitive. And then when I looked at the fine print at the bottom of the estimate, I would ask, you know, is that all, you can quote me so much for a job, is that all, is that your entire quote? You know, well, it'd be something for shop supplies. I said, well, why don't you tell me what those are going to be? He said, well, I could itemize them here, but it'd be about $10 or $15. That wound up being maybe 5, 10% of the estimate for doing the work. I walked away from that type of shop.
And you know what? I agree with that premise. I agree. I agree, first of all, it shouldn't be a profit center because we shouldn't be – if we're going to spread it amongst all of our customers. Now, do you know what your shop supply is, Kurtz? I mean, is it on parts, on labor, on both, or one or the other?
Shop supplies are on labor, I believe, and then hazmat is on parts or vice versa. I didn't set it up.
Okay.
It's broke up, and it's a small percentage on each.
Right, and I'll tell you what mine is. Mine is 4% of the labor on shop supplies because the labor actually consumes all those shop supplies.
Correct.
And I put it on labor because it's not taxed on labor.
Right.
That's what I did.
Right.
And so I'm actually paying the tax.
Right.
Okay. The environmental charges is 1% of the parts.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And so in it's so many different ways to do it, and everybody has a different way. Some of the guys are going to charge a percentage on parts and labor for shop supplies and a percentage of parts and labor on environmental. The answer to your question with respect to car repair, which is what this show is all about, is this. You ask them, everybody should ask this repair shop, what do I write my check for? Don't give me any BS. What do I write my check for? What's out the door price? And that forces them to deal with that because you can see ads in the paper. Kurt, you see an ad in the paper, $9.95 oil change. What's the small print say?
Plus shop supplies and plus hazmat.
Yeah.
And only so much is applicable, and certain cars are extra, and certain oils are extra, and you really don't know what you're getting.
Exactly. So, well, thank you for bringing that up, Dick, and thank you for allowing us to at least explain our logic behind how to handle it. It was the path of least resistance, and it favored, for me now, it was the path of least resistance, and it favored my customer better than any other option I had. And so that was why. And I would say right now that 75% of the shops in Phoenix have that thought process.
I would think so. And he mentioned that he didn't know any other industry, but my wife had some medical tests done and stuff. And you look at a bill from a doctor, and it'll include every Band-Aid, every aspirin, mm-hmm. everything like that. And then they have to have administration to monitor that, so you're paying for the extra administration. So I think that the way we do it is fair, I
yeah.
believe.
The downside is if you're using it as a profit center. That's the difference
that
for
is,
me.
That is a downside.
So, all righty. Well, we've got open lines available, 602-508-0960. Hey, Kurt, does your car, once you go to synthetic oil, can you go back to conventional oil?
I sure hope so, because I've done it both ways a few times to
okay.
try it.
All righty. Hey, Kurt, what's the difference between outside air and inside air, recirculation and outside air?
It's just a blend air door that changes to where you don't have the outside air coming through the evaporator. It recirculates the inside cabin air.
Okay. And if you and I were driving, and let's just pretend you smoke, and how would I work my air conditioning controls in the car to have the smoke go out your window and not permeate the inside of my car? Think about this, because you're going to answer it on the other side of this, okay? I want the smoke to go out the passenger window. I'm driving, you're smoking. And I want it all to go out the passenger window.
Am I allowed to use the window switch?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You're cheating, though. So when we come back, we're going to talk about that. And it could be for any reason at all. You could have your dog in the passenger seat and he stinks.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So you might want to just do... Did you hear that? Was that a meow?
Yeah, I think so.
We're not talking about cats. Nevertheless, there's lots of car questions that you have. Old wives' tale. Hey, do I have to turn off my air conditioning before I start the car?
No, you don't.
Okay. All right. All right. So those are the kinds of old wives' tales that we can talk about. And the reason, and we'll talk about, you remember this, the reason why there is no reason to turn off your anything when you start your car, and we'll talk about that. Okay. Mm. So you're going to take that
1 minute.
I'm going to take the oil one. Okay.
Okay.
So there you go. 602-508-0960. My website is marksalem.com. Mark is spelled with a K. Salem like the cigarette. MarkSalem.com. If you do Facebook and Twitter, I'm on both of those at under just /MarkSalem. And all I talk about is car repair and how you can save money. Matter of fact, one of my last tweets was, "Is did you know the 2012 Chevrolet has an event data recorder that
30 seconds.
Captures the data forward, backwards, sideways, and on a rollover?" That's pretty special.
Yeah.
So if that's something brand new, we never had that before. So it's like a black box, but times three. All righty, 602-508-0960. I'm Mark Salem. This is AM 960 KKNT, where we're here every Saturday at 10 o'clock talking about your car repair problems and questions.
If you're from...
The mechanic raised up from under my hood and he shook his head and said, "This ain't good."
And welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. We've got a couple of callers, Bruce and Taylor. We're going to get to you right away. But first, I want to remind you that this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. They're located on the south side of Main Street, just east of Stapley. South side of Main Street, just east of Stapley. Thompson's been in business since 1970. They're a AAA-approved shop, an ASE-certified Blue Seal shop, and they're a NAPA-certified auto care center. Thompson's Auto Repair was named the Business of the Year in 2009 by the Mesa Chamber of Commerce, and they're equipped to handle all major and minor repairs on your foreign or domestic vehicles. And I'm very proud to have Brian and Thelma on my best car repair shop list. That's Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Okay, real quick, before we go to Bruce... the guy smoking next to you in your car, and you want the smoke to go out the window, give me the 1-2.
Well, because you're only going to let me use the window switch and the AC unit, I'm going to crack his window, and I'm going to put it on outside air so it blows it out his window. Okay. If I could use the door, I'd push him out.
Okay, 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 okay. I understand that. I understand it. And I tell people, the outside air is like swamp cooler.
Yes.
You've got to have a window down in order for that to work good. Recirculatory is air conditioning in your house where you want all the doors closed.
Right.
I think if I were king for a day, I'd relabel everybody in Arizona swamp cooler and air conditioning. And
yeah.
And I think they'd get it.
Yeah, because I got people that won't run Max AC because they think it saves them money.
Right, yeah. And actually, it's like pulling a horse out. Are you going to run him at 12 miles an hour or 12 and a half miles an hour?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares? All righty, let's go to the phones. Bruce, you're up first. Bruce, how are you today?
Tremendous. How about you guys?
We're good. Good. Thank you very much.
All righty. On this, I don't know what's on your screen. It's a 95 Mercury Cougar. Got a 3800 V6.
Okay.
I can't find the air temp sensor.
Okay. Tell us how you got to the air temp sensor. I mean, what is it? Give us the symptoms so we understand the problem.
All right. We got a code. It came up as a code.
Oh. Well, that's really a you if the code says a part, let me ask you this, Kurt. When the code says a part, how often is that part truly defective?
Occasionally.
Occasionally. And I'm going to say it's 50-50 at best.
At best.
O2 sensors, you have 100 O2 sensors codes, and more than half the time it's not the O2 sensor. So your air temp, I'm guessing, because I think you have automatic temperature control, ATC, on the Cougar. And I think what's happening is here is on the evaporator side, underneath the dash, there's going to be an air temp sensor. And its job is to determine what kind of air is being sent through the vents. So when you go to hot air, it expects to see 80, 120 degrees coming out of that heater core. And when you go cold air and you're asking for 58 degrees, it expects to see cold air. Now, if it doesn't see hot or cold, it could be that the blend door's jammed.
Yeah, or broken.
Or broken.
No. I'm talking about on the engine itself.
Intake air temp sensor.
Oh, intake air
temp. Yeah.
Okay. Well, see, that's why I say if you just give us the problem and the symptoms, then we're better off. Air temp sensor is its reading should be very exactly right on to the coolant sensor first thing in the morning. So a shop's going to want it to spend overnight. But your air temp sensor somewhere in the air intake. Somewhere in the air intake. It's somewhere where the air flows through the air filter, through the tubes, through the throttle body, into the intake, and from there it's disseminated to the cylinders. So your air intake sensor is going to be somewhere in there. If you want to find it, just start unplugging things one at a time and checking your codes, and you'll find it soon enough.
Yeah, and I just had the same symptom on my Jeep, and the sensor was fine, but the wiring was broken, so just to change the sensor could be foolish.
And it depends on where it's at in relationship to a lot of things. If it's after the throttle blades, it can be just dirty.
Oh,
and
yeah,
just it
can
need
be.
To be cleaned yeah. up. So, but to find it, I can't tell you where it's at on a 95 Cougar with a V6. I can only tell you it's between the air filter and the intake valve somewhere along there. And it's typically a 2 or 3 wire sensor. It's a 3 wire. Right or not?
I just done a 2 wire, so I'm polluted. So
okay. Well, I'm thinking. Okay. 2 wire or 3 wire sensor.
One of the two.
One of the two, and it's going to have 5 volts to it. So if you want to turn the key on and don't start the motor and get your digital voltmeter, that air intake sensor, you'll never see more than 5 volts at any one of the 3 terminals. Never see, and then you're on it.
1 minute.
All righty. Well, good luck to you. And Taylor, I am sorry. I'm going to get to you, but I have to take a break right now. So if you'll just stick with me, Taylor, I'll get you. I promise you'll be first in call. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission. Let me tell you about Quality Transmission. They're just great. They are good people. They've been on my list for a very long time. And the guy that runs it, his name is Bob Jones. But Bob or Greg at Quality Transmission is who you need to call. They have a lot of years of experience, and they don't guess with your money. They know how to repair transmissions. They're located in Tempe off McClintock and University, and they're worth the drive. That's Quality Transmissions in Tempe. I'm Mark Salem. The phone number here is 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Kurt Rock from Kurt's Auto Repair up on Bell Road just east of the I-17. He's here with me, and we'll be right back right after this.
Hello, I'm Bob.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. It's 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and hey, listen up to this, okay?
I'm listening.
All righty. Right around the corner from you is Phoenix Body Works, and they were voted one of the best body shops in Phoenix, and they've been on my best car repair shops for years. He's at Bell Road, just east and just north of you, right?
Actually, Phoenix Body Works, isn't he at 19th Avenue?
Just
north of Deer Valley.
That's right. Greg May and his staff have been servicing the Phoenix area since 1982. They work free computerized estimates and a written lifetime warranty. That's something that's special. They need to be around to honor that. And as the insurance claim professionals, they work with your insurance company, and they take the hassle out of you having to do that. They've got ICAR certified technicians, ASE certified technicians. They're a member of the Better Business Bureau, and you just can't get better than that. Arizona law says it's your vehicle, and you can choose the body shop you want to use. You don't have to go to the one the insurance company fixed. So if you need a great body shop, no matter where you live, call Phoenix Body Works. They're located at 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road.
Yes.
He's a good guy. He's right around the corner from you.
Yeah,
right?
He's not far at all.
Okay. All righty. We're going to go and promise just like we promised Taylor. Taylor, you're up, and how can we help you?
Hey, Mark. I'm going through my truck. I got the man weekend coming up pretty soon. And I was going through my truck, noticed I was a little bit long brake fluid, went and got some brake fluid, added about 2 tablespoons to the master cylinder. Everything's good. And then I was at home about 2 weeks later. I'm at home, and I noticed that brake fluid bottle says synthetic on it.
And I looked at all my old brakes. I don't know why I don't throw them away, but I keep them, whatever. But, you know, I get a new one every time I add some.
Yeah.
And all the other ones don't say synthetic on it.
Okay.
So is that compatible?
I'm going to tell you that this does not make me scared.
Okay.
Kurt, how about you?
It doesn't
make me scared either.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I do, though. I'd buy a quart bottle of dot 3 or dot 4.
Uh-huh.
All right. I'd get a turkey baster. Do you know what a turkey baster is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Don't use your wife's either, okay? They're only 99 cents at Walmart or something like that. So go buy one for yourself because you'll use it again and again and again. And I'll tell you what, Kurt and I both know that your employees, when they don't listen to you, they're really good to stick in their ear and suck that wax right out. Right,
that works every time.
Oh,
every time.
That's handy to know.
Take all the fluid out of the master cylinder that you can with your turkey baster, and then turn that quart bottle over upside down on your master cylinder.
Uh-huh.
It's going to fill up the master cylinder until it touches the bottom of the bottle. And then you're going to go
like
around.
A water jug.
Exactly. And you're going to go around and open up all your bleeders.
Yeah, I love it.
And let it run until you. Now, you have to keep track of that bottle because you can't let it get empty. But
sure.
Yeah, watch football and just keep an eye on it. And once it sucks air and it gets down to the full mark, then you got to quickly go around and shut all the bleeders off. But it's going to take an hour or so for this to happen. And that's pretty close to a flush.
Yes.
I love the upside-down bottle thing. I've always added it and added and added and added. I love that idea.
Yeah.
Okay, well, real quick. You know, Monday, big game coming up.
Uh-huh.
Go Tigers.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate your help, man. Have a great weekend.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Synthetic or non-synthetic? Is that important?
We're going to talk about that right now.
Okay,
right?
You're
now.
Awesome.
Okay, Jeremy, ask that question you asked during the break, and we're gonna address it.
You got it. I just read on Yahoo that the state of California is encouraging people to go longer with changing their oil, 7,500 miles to 15,000. That can't be right, right?
Kurt, you want to chime in?
Yeah, I'll chime in. One of the first of all, oil is going to get some kind of contaminations after you run the car for a while. I think 7,500 on a car that's 2,000 or newer that is low mileage, doesn't use oil, I don't see a major problem with that. I see a real problem with going 15,000, especially if you're using standard grades oil. And most of my customers, the only time their hood gets lifted is if we do it. I see major engine problems coming down the road on that.
And I'll tell you what I think. First of all, let's all remember that California is the land of the fruits and the nuts.
Granola land.
Granola land.
Yes.
Let's not forget that. I agree. I think you did that great. It's only on newer model cars from 2000 and newer.
Right.
And it has to be a full synthetic oil. So that's going to double and sometimes triple their oil change costs.
Absolutely.
And here's the real problem, and I love how you put it. Nobody opens the hood. So if you're a quart low at 3,000 or 4,000 miles, then you're a quart low at 6,000 or 7,000 miles, then you're a quart low at 9,000 or 10,000 miles. That 15,000-mile oil change on your Honda is going to cost you a motor. Because they only hold 4 quarts.
Yeah.
And you're going to drive around with only one until the motor seizes. Now, I use Honda as an example, any small four-cylinder car. So the idea is under the very best of conditions, we use a synthetic oil, which will save the environment because the intervals are longer.
Right.
And I agree that I tell customers, we can change your oil 4 times a year, but if you'll let me put semi-synthetic in, and I can only do it 2 times a year, but I need you to promise to open up your hood every once in a while. And I've gone so far as to put door stickers on their windshield that says, check your oil at this time, and forcing them to look at those stickers.
And hoping that they do it.
Yeah, because if they don't and they bring their car in and the motors are seized up because the oil level got too low, it's really not our fault.
It isn't, no.
And so that's what I fear, too. I fear that if we tell people they can go 15,000 miles, first of all, they won't use a full synthetic oil.
Nope.
And a conventional won't go that far. And number two, nobody checks their oil anyway. At 15,000 miles, I can see that 30% or more of the engines out there will fail because they can't go 15,000 miles without adding oil, and they can't go 15,000 miles on a conventional oil.
And what happens if we have a fuel injector stick open or a head gasket start to leak and we dilute that oil and nobody checks it for 6 months?
Yeah, and now we've got half oil and half gasoline or half coolant inside the engine. So the question, I think, and let me turn the question around to you, Kurt. How many cars can go 15,000 miles without nothing?
None.
Yeah, none. That's not in their best interest of the driver or the owner of the car.
Right.
Can tires last 15,000 miles?
Tires
without inflation adjustments?
Probably not, or rotation.
Okay. And when you talk about other problems, and it's kind of like that pay me now, pay me later.
Yeah.
It's not every car repair, but a lot of car repairs, if you catch them early during your inspection of your oil changes, it takes better care.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that'll open up a can of worms. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto Repair. They're a full-service, family-owned auto repair shop at 38th Avenue and Indian School. If you live west of the I-17 and you live south of Indian School, Larry Harker's is a good shop for you. If you live out in the Avondale-Goodyear area, we've got other shops out there you can find at marksalem.com. But at 38th Avenue and Indian School, you can draw a big circle around that, and Larry Harker's Auto Repair is the place I'm going to send you to. You know, Kurt, the list of shops that we have, it's very similar. The information is very similar to what the Better Business Bureau offers. And Better Business Bureau says that, you know, they've been doing this for 100 years, and I agree with them.
Yes.
They have been.
Yes.
They have been. There's two things with Better Business Bureau that I do differently. And the reason I do them differently is because I know about how the Bureau works, because
right.
I've been with them for 25 years. Number one, they don't do pricing issues, and I do.
Yes.
And number two, they don't ever put their money where their mouth is, so to speak.
Understand.
And that's, and folks, what that means is in my world, I own a repair shop, and my repair shop isn't even on my own list. Mm-hmm. It would seem self-serving if I put it on my own list. And my mother said, don't put your own repair shop on your own list. But every one of the 55 shops on my repair list, if you go there and you have a problem, they already know that you will file a nice complaint with the Better Business Bureau. They know that if you need to go to arbitration, that will happen. If the arbitrator says to Kurt, Kurt, you pay her $300, and Kurt says, heck no, then I will pay you the $300 and I'm going to kick Kirk off my list. That's never happened. I want to say that about you. But I've never even had, in the last 20 years, we've never even had a shop go to arbitration.
I understand that.
Never even had one go to arbitration. Well, I used to say $500. I'd guarantee it up to $500, but I've got some transmission shops on there. And what's an average transmission bill, Kurt?
Probably $25 to $35.
Okay, that's why I raised it to $5,000.
Yeah.
I wanted to cover those big ticket items because the transmission and the air conditioning repairs and some engine swaps are going to be underneath that $5,000. So I raised it up to $5,000. Kurt, let me ask you a question. Who pays that $5,000?
I guess that you're going to pay it if nobody else does, aren't you?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, you know that I'm going to pay it.
Yes,
because I'm not going to have the shop pay because I'm going to say adios, goodbye.
Right.
But the idea is these guys, my filter is born and created by, I've been a master tech for 30 years. I've been an ASE master tech for 30 years, and I've been involved in the car repairs since 1979. The guys on my list are the very best that Phoenix has to offer. The very best, bar none. Transmission shops, mechanical shops, paint and body shops, diesel repair. Do you work on diesels?
Absolutely.
Okay. Do you like, what do you make the most money on, Ford or Chevys?
Well, if we're talking about what
diesels.
Under that
Mark,
circumstance,
we do have
I love Fords.
You love Fords?
Yeah, 6.0s, yes.
Oh, so you mean those high-pressure oil pumps, bad injectors, EGR cooler, oil cooler leaking and problems? You like those?
Yeah, they're good. I like them.
And a high-pressure oil pump on the Ford costs about?
What is it? It's about
$6,000 to $8,000.
I think it's something like that.
Yeah, Do you pull the cab?
If we can avoid it, we don't. But if we don't, we do. Yes.
Yeah. And the cab pays based on $100 an hour labor. The cab pays $1,100 to pull it and reinstall it.
It's 11 hours.
It's 11 hours.
Yeah,
$1,000. All righty, let's take the other caller, Jeremy.
Here we go. Here's Lance, guys.
Hey, Lance, how are you today?
What's going on, Mark?
Good, good. What can we do for you?
Hey, a quick comment. California, you know, real strict on cars, but the only good thing about that state is you don't have to smog if you have 75 or lower compared to Arizona.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I'll tell you what I think. Let me add to that. We don't really tailpipe smog anymore here either.
96 and up, no tailpipe emissions.
And we're just going to check your computer. Now, there's some problems with that because you'll have a transmission code and they won't give you your tags. And the transmission code may or may not affect your fuel economy.
Right.
But in reality, there's a lot of cars out there. Now, you can answer this. How many cars come to you that said, I can't get through my emissions test because I have a code stored in my computer, and you find that that code is negatively affecting the performance of the car or creating bad air?
Probably half of them, maybe.
And I would say the same. At least half of them.
Yeah.
At least half of them are making the air dirty. But what they're thinking is that most of the warranties will carry you through 75,000 miles.
Yes.
Many of the warranties will carry you there. And they're thinking, okay, well, if the check engine light comes on, you'll go ahead and have it fixed, and they'll take care of it. So after 75, we're going to force you to do that.
Right.
But I have a customer of mine who's a farmer, and he farms on the Indian Reservation up near Saguaro Lake. And right now he's farming pecans. And he says, I said, why pecans? And he goes, they used to be like 10 pecans for a penny, and right now they're a nickel a piece.
That makes sense.
And I said, where do you ship your pecans? And he says, to California. Where would you think? and I just laughed at that. You know,
2 minutes.
He says that when they, really and truly, the nuts and fruits from Arizona are predominantly shipped west. And I think we should put a moat on the Colorado River.
That'd be a good place.
And we just stop. But California has its own idiosyncrasies. But I also want to tell Lance, too, that in reality, we have a tougher emissions program and have had for 20 years than California has ever had.
Absolutely.
And answer this, Kurt. An Arizona car will always or not necessarily always pass California emissions.
Not necessarily, because we allow some modifications they don't on the intake, on the carburetor stuff.
Okay, forget those.
Okay, then always.
Always. And the other side, do California cars, if they pass California emissions, do they pass Arizona?
No, they don't.
They don't, because we fix a lot of those.
Right.
So that's the answer is when you look at the big screen, yes, and not pick out a certain section of cars, like 75 and under,
yeah,
if you look at the big screen, Arizona's doing a better job overall than California is with respect to air quality. California, do they have a maintenance program? Do you know? Broken windshields, bad brakes?
I think they do to some degree, yeah, but I'm not sure.
And that's what is missing in Arizona. But, of course, Kurt and I, as shop owners, people would suggest that we're going to be for a maintenance program because it's going to bring business to our doors.
Yes.
For me, I say, let them live with their own decisions. I'm not, yeah, their daddy. I'm not going to make them get a new windshield. I'm not, yeah, going to make them do new brakes. I'm going to bring it to their attention,
seconds,
but that's it.
That's all.
So, Kurt's Auto up on Bell Road, just east of the I-17 on the north side of the street. Been on my list for a long time, and he's a great guy. And if you go up there, Kurt will treat you right. And if you don't like what he says, talk to Eric.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you very much for spending your Saturday with me. We'll see you next Saturday right here on 960 AM KKNT.
This was a paid program and was provided for informational purposes only.